Gentlemen's Guide. What up, what up, what up? Welcome back to the Gentleman's Guide podcast, where we seek to unpack manhood one day at a time.
You sure?
Yeah, we here, man.
You positive?
Yes, sir.
All right, let's get it.
That's the goal.
That's the goal.
As you can see, I got my brother here.
Yeah, man, J-Rod, man. Pastor Gerard, J-Rod, Raven, whatever you want to call me,
yes,
man.
Sir.
Your friend, your boy, man. I'm here. Glad to be here. And it's been a minute since I've had an opportunity to be with the podcast. And I know you've had a lot of, done a lot of things in between, but man, I'm glad to be here. And so what we got today, man? What we talking about today, bro?
Well, I'm your host, B. Barnes, and we talking about fatherhood.
All things fatherhood.
We're trying to start the conversation. Obviously, it's going to be a series. Well, not obviously, but if you guys didn't know by now, this is going to be a series talking about different, the details, the intricacies of fatherhood.
Okay.
Our personal experiences, you know, what we learn, you know, throughout our lives, the older we're getting, the more kids we have. But that's what we're doing here.
You throwing shots?
No, man.
Okay. Shots. For those who do not know. Just so you know, I have three children, which is seemingly a lot in this climate as far as, you know, the world we live in today. I have three and another one on the way. So this will be it. Hey, four man. Is all I can handle.
Hey, man.
Me, my four, no more. And all girls. So pray with me.
Pray with him.
Let's go.
He travels down this journey
of
fatherhood. No, but no, man, we're trying to unpack fatherhood. We got some general questions that we want to ask. And we want to really just offer our perspective, have a conversation. Let's talk about it. So we're going to dive right in.
Is that
cool with you? We're going to dive. All right, man. So first thing that I want to talk about is I call it the the fly on the wall syndrome. How did you feel going through the first process of your wife bringing in the first child into the world?
In the hospital. Okay.
You know, visits.
Yeah.
The day of birth.
Yeah.
Everything.
Yeah. Like I was nothing. I was treated. That's really kind of what it was. It wasn't. Now, let me first preface it and say this. Number one, it is all about the woman.
For sure.
And that child and the health of, in my case, my wife and the child that being born at the time, to be born at the time.
Right.
Whether it be doctor's visits or whatever the case may be. It is not about the man. And I'm going to say that again. It's not about, was not about me.
Right.
I understood that. I was okay with that. Because at that point, my job is to support my wife through whatever emotional drama, struggle, whatever that she's facing in that moment,
right.
Because they're the ones that have to carry that child, you know, all that good jazz. So let me preface that. Don't want nobody coming at me the wrong way. Let me put that out there. But I'll speak specifically to in the hospital with our first child. I felt dismissed as if I didn't matter. And this was not for my wife. Again, I know it's not about me. It's about the health, the well-being, the safety, having a healthy birth and that woman and, you know, whatever. As my grandfather would say, childbirth is the closest. The woman comes closest to death in that moment. That is a very, 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 very intimate and intentional moment that we have to be really, you know, as he would say, you know, pray and seek God about, as I did. So I get it. But I felt dismissed, and I knew it was something, but it was from the nurses, from everything, as if I didn't matter. And it was, and so after we got through, we had our first child, Hampton, and we had our first child. I was talking to a nurse, and I was kind of making, you know, kind of talking about it, kind of making light of it, and talking about it. And we talked about it. And she was like, "Well, Mr. Barnes, you'll be amazed at how often we assume, right, that the male there is the husband, and it's an uncle, it's a boyfriend, or it, you know what I'm saying?" I'm like, "Yo, I'm the daddy. Like, she got my name. This baby gonna have my name." Like, you know, and just feeling, you know, and it was like, you'd be amazed how often. And we've done that in different situations where you assume something, you know, you see somebody, "Oh, that's a beauty. That's your grandchild. It looked good." Like, "No, that's my baby. That's my baby child."
Right. Yeah.
But the mama or dad look old. Anyway,
that's another conversation.
Another conversation of the day. My point is, you know, assuming it does exactly how it's spelled. It does what it's spelled to do. Assume if you know what I'm saying, you'll get it. My point was that's I had that conversation where I'm like, yo, like, you know, it just kind of felt, she was like, but you'd be amazed. And then this is another thing for our African American community, our males. You'll be amazed at how often we see the same man come in this hospital, right, with different women, with different babies. And yeah, so when putting that in perspective with them, it made me, I wouldn't say I was okay, but it made, one, I was proud to be in, not no judgment to nobody, but I was proud to be in the position that I was in, me and my family and my household. But also it made me, I was cool. I wasn't mad or nothing in it, but I just kind of know, like, dang, well, they don't give me bothers, no love.
Because at the end of the day, it ain't about you.
And I understand that. Because again, I got to continue to preface that. Like, yeah, but it's like
it's a feeling.
Yeah, but it's right. that feelings. And at the end of the day, it was intentionally done on their end. Mm-hmm. And I understand why. Because mother has the baby. You're like, oh man, you're the father. You don't know what type of situation they had with that daddy. You don't know what type of trauma, traumatic experience they might have had in that relationship. And now they're bringing forth this child. Mm-hmm. And you're suggesting this or suggesting that. Yeah. And now you got the mom in this emotional state all in an uproar because you said something or you assumed something and it wasn't the case. So I understood it. I got it. But by the time I got to the third child, trust and believe, they knew your boy. And back again. But that was that. I'll let you have it from there. I hope that makes sense. But that, the fly on the wall, that's what my experience was with
that. Yeah, man. Like I said, I called it the fly on the wall syndrome because, like, again, it's not about you. You just really there to observe, to support, you know. But just because it ain't about you or just it's still an experience of a father.
Yeah,
you
know what I mean? Man. Yeah.
In that situation.
Somebody who wants to be a father. Right?
And it's something that you need to talk about. You know what I mean? So again, understanding that you're not the center of attention. You know, we live in a world where we live in a patriarchal society where, you know, the man is assumed to be the head of
everything.
You know, a company, anything. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So when we in these moments where, you know, the man is not the center of attention, the feeling is valid. Because again, this is how we've been socialized to think to a degree.
Good point. Yeah.
But again, at the end of the day, you know, it's all about the health and well-being of that mother and that child.
Exactly. Exactly.
But moving on to, I want to move on to this next question. When your wife was pregnant with your first child, you know, you go through the process, you know, she's pregnant, you go through these visits, and you finally get to the day of birth, and you know what? Through this whole process, when did it really hit you that yo, like, I'm a father, I'm a daddy, like, I'm somebody's daddy, and like, when did that time? When did that
awakening?
When did that happen? You know what I mean?
I'm gonna let you go first.
I'll say like
so Brennan, when was that awakening moment? That aha moment when you realized that you were somebody's father?
Bruh, it was
you were look. Out of Pappy. When you realize I was a Pappy.
Boss. Look here. It was two times. It was one that it kind of flipped the switch. Mm-hmm. It was the first night in the hospital and Gab is sleeping. She's like halfway drugged up because she didn't have a natural birth. She had the epidural. She had a C-section. Mm-hmm. Well, it was an emergency C-section. Yeah. But that's a whole nother story. Yeah. But
that she came through.
She came through.
Amen.
Came through.
Yeah, we're talking. You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
Baby healthy, everything. Yep. You're smart. But you know, first night in the hospital and Gab asleep, ain't no nurse around, they chilling. And I got little Brandon Jr. on my chest and I'm in a recliner, which really wasn't that comfortable. By the way. Like they need to invest in some comfortable recliner. But that's another conversation.
But they did in my hospital though. They did in my hospital. Go ahead.
I'm jealous. But anyway, back to my point. All I was saying is the first night in the hospital, Brandon's on my chest. I fell asleep and I woke up. And it was, and I realized this wasn't a dream. This was real life. And I was like, this little still here.
Yeah. Like, this little ninja.
He ain't going nowhere. And I'm that baby's daddy. Like, I was like, yo, this is real life. And then when it really hit me was when we put him in the car seat and we drove home. And it was a very, very emotional moment for both of us. Like, when it's your first kid, it's just different. Mm-hmm. But those out there who's watching, who's listening right now, when you have multiple kids, we all know the first child is just different. And it's the first.
It's the first child.
Everything.
It's the first child. Yeah, but, you know.
It's the first time we put him in a car seat.
Yep.
And don't let me get
driving on the road.
Don't get me started on the car seat. I was so frustrated. That thing was so common. It's so simple now, but when you ain't never did a car, you know, put a baby in the car seat, I was like, am I choking them? Am I?
Yeah, yo. No.
You don't know. But that aside, it was a surreal moment. It was an out of body experience. Mm. And I specifically remember, and Gab, she gonna be watching this and be like, I remember like it was yesterday.
Yeah, I bet.
She probably gonna be crying. But it was not Anita Baker, but it was Layla Hathaway's My Angel was playing on the radio.
We
didn't plan it, but it just happened the way it happened. And Gab, mm-hmm. The hormones and stuff.
Yep.
You had a bad. She's emotional. And I was like, yo, this is like a scene out of a movie. And I didn't.
Yeah.
It was crazy, bro. Like, but that's when it really hit me. That's when it really hit me. And I would never forget it because that's the day that Brandon Allman Barnes's world changed. For the better, but it definitely changed. The veil was removed from my eyes. Yeah. And
because almost like that 9 months, like it goes by fast, but sometimes slow. But then it's like it don't hit you during that nine months.
Obviously, we know as the mom, mm-hmm. your body's changing from day one. Mm. You know, you got these cravings. You feel the baby kicking. And don't get me wrong. I enjoyed that whole process. Mm-hmm. I loved when my wife was pregnant mm-hmm. and I love rubbing her belly. Mm-hmm. And, you know, she had these random pickle cravings and collard greens. Like she only eat collard greens. She was eating collard greens like left and right.
That's crazy.
It's crazy. But that's another, you know, how, you know, the body knows mm-hmm. what it wants. Right, but I enjoyed that whole process of going to the doctor, mm-hmm. you know, seeing the ultrasounds. You know, hearing a heartbeat, I enjoyed everything.
All that. Recorded everything. I
loved it. It was awesome to me. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And this is, I know for me personally, I always knew I wanted kids, even when I was a kid.
Like,
some people know. Some people don't know. They on the fence. You meet the right person, whatever. But for me, I knew I always wanted kids. So this was like, it's like my wildest dream.
It's here now. It's
coming
here.
True and right in front of my eyes. Mm-hmm. And it's like just hearing a human heartbeat inside of another, like the thought of that just kind of blew my mind.
I know.
You know.
Sometimes we take it for granted because it's like we say it's so normal.
Yeah.
Which it is, you know, I mean, you know, but at the same time, when you're experiencing that for the first time, even for me, second time, mm-hmm. third time, I've mm-hmm. experienced it three times and I have not been able to experience it with this child in the same way because of COVID. And just the other day, and I know this might be a side note, but I left work. I had the first hospital visit or the first doctor's visit, rather, mm-hmm. That Brittany had. I'm getting off work, you know, told da da da. I'm on the road. Brittany's kind of gets there before me. She comes like, babe, you know, you can't come in. I'm like, you like? No, I'm like, no. I work for the state. I get tested every day.
I pay my taxes.
I'm like, nah, I'm coming in. She was like, nah, like, you know, no, only. Only those who are being treated, you know, so that being the women could come in. So couldn't even come inside the waiting area. You know what I mean? So that's been different because every area of engagement that I've had as a father pre-birth, the birth of the child, I have not been able to engage in the same way. That awakening moment. And I definitely understand yours, like to the T, I get it, Murray, but my awakening moment was seeing beauty be brought forth through pain.
Yeah.
And I'll say this too.
That's a metaphor for life.
And I'll say this too.
Yeah.
The pain that my wife was experiencing, you know, for me, it was pleasurable. And what I mean by that, 9 months before,
What you mean by
that? Yeah, right. What do I mean by that? What you mean by that? 9 months before, you know, our moment of pleasure, therefore 9 months later, produced her moment of pain. Mm-hmm. That therefore produce the beauty in our child. And I tell men, so for me, that was the awakening moment to literally watch. I know it might sound crazy, the head go like this and be shaped differently and come out of my wife. It's two sides of the knees you can be on, as I like to say, when you're in that hospital. You can be on the top side and just be like, all right, whatever happens down there happens. I don't see it.
Right.
Or you can be on the bottom side, like in there, like I'm going to see everything. And for me, I was in there. I was going to see everything.
I probably would have fainted.
Yeah, well, it's a crazy story. Second child, I don't know why I had seen this before, but my second child, Charlie, I almost fainted.
Wow.
Like, no, like grown man. They was like, get him. I was like, leave me alone. Like, almost, bro. Like, no, bro. Almost like, I was like, Literally, bro, like literally, I kid you not, like almost passed out, grown man on the floor. Wife in the, you know, shit. They're like, yeah, I'm like, I don't need y'all to get
look
me.
Look at this. Look at this.
Look at this joker this here. Yeah. If I could really say, I ain't, you know what? I'm going to stop by saying what I should say. But look at this joker here. But anyway, so watching, back to it, but watching, you know, this moment of pain. And, you know, so, you know, I say my wife had natural birth. People say, well, the only way to have a natural birth is to not take an epidural. Well, she put the epidural in. She got the epidural. By the time, before the epidural could hit, every child she done had the baby. It's like, you might as well just wait it. But, but anyway, but I say she had them natural. She did, you know, and she went through all of the ins and outs and the pain that it took to bring forth our children to this world. And so to watch that moment, and I've watched it 3 times. And then, like you said, too, I think, and I didn't even think about it, but I remember that drive home, putting the child in. Mm-hmm. It's like, and it's, for me, it was a short drive too, because, you know, we actually kind of don't, we live right around the corner from the hospital. But, but that drive home, I was like, yo, like, I got a kid in here. Bro, I got,
it's a different,
you know, you're like, man, turn my turn signal on, drive slow. Like, you just, it's not, you're not moving.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you get in the car and drive, you just boom, 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 you know, see, you just kind of move. You go, it's all, but like, you move differently in that moment. You know, and this is a lot different now because, you know, like I said, I'm in 3 deep.
Right.
And another one on the way. Like, you know, so, but I do remember that moment too. And that was a very impactful moment. It's like, you just moving differently, man. And so
it's naturally up.
I think
I'm getting mad at people for like cutting me off on the street. Like,
I got a baby on board.
Brand new baby in the car. What is you doing?
Yeah, bro.
It's
so
different, man.
That was my
and on top of that, Gab had just had a C-section, right?
So that's what I was about to say,
she got
too.
Stitches in her stomach, and I'm trying to like
move. Yeah, man.
So it was a double. Like, I'm trying to like make sure she's straight and he's straight.
Yeah, my wife, man, she just spit him out and keep it moving. I mean, that's like I said,
it'd be like that sometimes.
If I don't do something, we'll have enough babies for everybody. And so yeah, anyways, that's another conversation for another day.
Yeah.
But yeah, man, that was my awakening moment. And like literally, man, watching, being reminded in that moment of pain and watching on the bottom side of those knees and watching and being up in there watching that beautiful baby come forth in this moment of pain.
Yeah.
I was reminded of that moment of pleasure that we had 9 months before. I'm like, dang, what was pleasurable for me is painful for her.
Yeah.
And wow. And it really, what it did, man, it really did. I knew I loved my wife. I'll say this too, man. I knew I loved my mom too, but it made me appreciate my mom more. It made me appreciate really every woman in my life more. The crazy part, Brandon, looking back on it, I've had, coming out of college, I was the first, as I know, of my friends to have children, get married and have children.
Uh-huh.
And some of my constituents and people that weren't like close friends, but you know, I was a barber, I was, you know, well known, whatever, associated with. So I had guys that, you know, through being a barber, I would counsel and we would talk relationship, you know, that's what you do. And I've had guys call me that were not my closest friends, but Rod, I see, you know, you had that, you know, what kind of advice can you give me? And I told one, and every man I've told that asked me that, I tell him this. And I remember one of my boys from college, he was a football player, you know, good dude. He called me, he was like, yo, man. And he would tell me some of the things he was going through with his baby mama. And I was like, look, I was like, at the end of the day, I was sharing with him things that had been shared with me from Uncle Darnell.
Okay.
He was like, man, you know, your wife, shout out to Uncle Darnell. Like, I appreciate, like, yo, I love you, bro. Like, y'all don't understand. We got an uncle, he's Uncle Darnell. Like, he's Uncle Darnell. He's going to give you some wisdom.
Yeah.
But he was telling me, like, when Brittany first got pregnant, like, yo, man, like, you know, her body's going to change and this going to happen. He would just get, like, you notice. So he was like, man, you know, so just, he was giving me the scoop on how I could deal with her through her changes.
Yep.
And I needed that, man. Like, you know, so when I was in a position to give that to somebody else, he was like, you know, telling me some of the struggles that they were having. Like, I know, you know, I'm trying to get to the city, but I'm not there yet. And that, I said, but look here, at the end of the day, bro, you got to understand, she's there, you ain't there.
Right.
And just able to, you know, and she's going through the changes, you're not going through those changes.
Right.
So she hear what you're saying, but until you get there, and even if you are there, you're not experiencing it the way she is. Mm-hmm. So you just going to have to eat that. You just gonna have to eat whatever coming, like whatever frustration, whatever is coming off. You just, your job there is to take it. You've been built to take it, if that means anything. And that's the best way I could put it. And I get passionate about it because I was able to share something with him, some nuggets with him. And I said, and when that time comes, you need to get yourself in a position so you can be there. So when that time comes, I said, you need to be on the downward side. Yeah. Of those knees, yeah. Because it will change how you. It will enhance. If you love her, it's gonna enhance it. It's gonna take it to a whole nother level. Mm-hmm. And your appreciation for her, I said, and so you're gonna be strengthened as a man, and ultimately as a father and as a stable force for her and the child. Yeah. So I pray to help somebody.
I realize, like, change is inevitable, and specifically right now, I'm talking about the love. Like you said, the love I had for my wife, mother, my children at the time, it was what it was. But after we started having kids, it's like, man, it reached a whole new level.
Whole nother level.
Oh, man, whole nother level. Yes. And I don't really know how to articulate it in a way that a lot of people can understand it, but if you know, you know. Like, if you know what I'm talking about,
you know it.
Like, you just know, bro. Like, this is different. You know,
we can move on right there.
What was the biggest learning curve? Anything, you know what I'm saying? Like,
I think you get comfortable with them needing mama.
Yeah,
and I know you're gonna pick it up in a minute, but you get comfortable. So the biggest learning curve is realizing, okay, here it is, that me going to work, just me going to work, and providing. Now, let me also note this. As long as we've had kids, me and my wife have co-labored to provide for our household. Right. So she works. There was 1 year, 2018 into 2019, that she wanted to stay home. And I was the sole provider financially in the home. And I'm so glad she went back to work, baby. I'm so glad. Oh, man. Anyway. but she needed that time. She wanted that time. You know, we needed it, and I needed it too. It was some things I learned about myself as a man. Mm-hmm. But specifically, especially during that year, because I was only going to work and coming home, right? Mm-hmm. Just because you go to work and come home, that's not it. You know, that's not more. The biggest learning curve. Like, there's so much more. And like, and here's the deal.
And being in the house don't mean being present.
Yeah, that's it. But there was more to it than just going to work and coming home. Providing and coming home, and like you said, being in the house does not mean you're present. Because at the end of the day, when you look at it, you could, you know, we tend to say as people, well, I ain't doing this and I ain't doing that. I ain't out here, you know, trying to holler at other women, or I'm not out here. You know, you start naming all the things that you're not doing.
What you want, a cookie?
Yeah.
That's what you supposed to be doing.
And I never did that. But right. I'm saying, but as people, I never did that. My wife. God is my witness. I never thought about that. But a lot of times, just as people, I know how people think. Mm-hmm. We tend to point out all the things that we don't do to justify the things that we really aren't.
Look, I ain't cheating on you.
Yeah, I ain't doing this.
I ain't running around.
At least I come home, but it's like, bro, it's still more than that. I know you come home, but I need you to be here. I need you to do something. I need you to change a diaper.
Help.
Like, you know, it's then
help.
And you know, I ain't gonna lie.
And she shouldn't have to ask you.
She shouldn't ask. Sometimes. I get into the Kevin Hart spirit, and I'd be like, the exactly you. You know, I know the baby's diaper needs to, the amazing baby's diaper needs to be changed.
But I'm just gonna wait.
But I'm just gonna wait until you
know. Because I don't
want to feel like changing the diaper. And my wife gonna be mad. Even though you don't change diapers all day, I know it's selfish. Y'all gonna be mad at me. Can I just be honest?
Hey, this is a gentleman's guy podcast. We're keeping it real with y'all right now.
So the biggest, I'll say it again, I'll leave it there. The biggest learning curve, just because you go out and provide, it's not everything. And I'm an affectionate father. So even though I'm in the home, I wasn't of the generation, you know, it was a generation before, way like two generations, three generations before us, that, you know, that man went to work, come home, no affection, no love, no this. Yeah. My father-in-law right now would tell me, like, man, my daddy never told me that. You know, he's like, sometimes he didn't tell me that he loved me or whatever, or give me a hug. So he told me that because he was investing in me as a father. So when I had my kids, I wanted to hug them all the time. But it's, again, they were of a different generation. His father, they were of a different generation. So because of that, he was of a different thought process. Mm-hmm. Our dad, he was affectionate. He wasn't non-affectionate. Yeah. And, you know, him and my father-in-law, they're about the same age. And so watching how my father-in-law dealt with, you know, his girls, even as I met my wife in their later years, you know, later, obviously, when they were in college, I'm able to pull from him and then transfer that over into how I deal with my girls. So just because you're going to provide doesn't mean that's everything. And just because you're in the home doesn't mean you're actually actively present. Yeah. And so
I need you.
That makes sense.
Nah, I'm speaking as if I'm the wife or whatever, but I need you to be emotionally available. You know what I'm saying? Fully transparent.
Yeah, man.
When I tell you how I feel about something, if you don't bite my head off and you make an effort to be better.
Yeah.
Rather than build up a wall
of excuses, already trying to excuse your behavior.
Yeah. And I'm again
trying to defend your behavior. Yeah.
Naturally, your defense mechanisms go up. And you thinking that you're in an argument.
Being attacked.
Like, yeah, you feel attacked.
I'm with it.
And I'm speaking from experience.
Yeah, me. Yeah,
you know, I'm speaking from experience. And you, like I said, you probably feel the same way in different
incidents. It's been the same.
But when you take a step, now we've learned, over time, we've learned how to best communicate with each other.
Yep.
But it's a thing I like to call daddy privilege.
Come on.
And
I like that. I like the term. Let me say that. I like the term, but now, go ahead and explain it.
I mean, it ain't nothing like profound or anything. It's really common sense. It's like we all have privileges in the world, right? And it's up to the person to recognize when you have a certain privilege.
Yep.
And that's another conversation for another day.
And do something about it.
To make the playing field equal. Yeah. So this dawned on me probably maybe a year or so ago. Now, mind you, my oldest boy, Brandon, he's 4 now.
Yeah.
So it
took me 3 years.
It really clicked.
It took me 3 years to get it.
It really clicked for me. I was like, because she kept talking about certain things. No, I shouldn't have to ask you to do this. I shouldn't have to ask you to do that. And like she'll come into the room and I could be chilling. I could be chilling by myself doing whatever I want to do. Not even having a conscious mindset of she isn't allowed to just sit there and chill by herself. When she got 2 little rugrats pulling on her leg or whining in her face just because she's there.
Right now, my wife is like, yes, yes. Look right. Yes. Right now, that's what she's saying. But go ahead.
But yeah, daddy is daddy privilege, man, because the child has a different connection to the mom, man. Mm-hmm. Like, the child was in her sight of her for 9 months.
Yep.
You know,
then the mom nurses
the child,
breastfeeds that child. Yes,
you got different hormones going. It's just different. It's a different connection.
Yeah.
And as the daddy, it's easy. It's easy to be present, but not be present.
Not be present.
You know what I mean? Going back to what we mentioned earlier,
be you're there but not present.
Yeah,
you're there but not truly present.
And it starts as you know when they're kid, when they're really really small kids.
Yep.
Because everything that happened when they're small, it's just gonna be magnified when they become teenagers and so on. And so, you know what I mean?
Yeah, real talk.
So you have to recognize these things while you're in the middle of it because it don't make no sense to say, well, yeah, you know, I messed up back then. It's like, no, nigga. You in this now. We're in this now.
You know what I'm saying? We've been trying to talk real, but you should leave it too in there. We've been trying to be real and trying to, you know, balance being real and authentic.
Look,
but politically correct.
Look
sometimes here, you just gotta say yes how you feel. But go
sometimes
ahead,
you just
you ain't gotta apologize. I'm laughing. You don't need to apologize for nothing. You said how you feel, and look, I agree with you. I agree with you. Look,
I appreciate that.
Thank you.
But yeah, bro, it's like daddy. Going back to daddy privilege again.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying. But you messed me up. Nah. Daddy, it's like you have to realize that there's a different connection between the child and the mom versus the child and the dad.
Yeah,
and it's not fair for you to exploit that in a way that
benefits you personally. Yeah.
And you don't even realize it. I didn't realize it until she really pointed out multiple times.
All the time. But let me say this. So then I started breaking it down. And I was sharing with another somebody at work. I was like, man, you know what? That mom, the mother is always 9 months ahead of the father. And I'll share this with you too. Okay. You know what I mean. Y'all know what I mean. They have the child. They you know, the child is you know, conceived. They go 9 months with that child, eating what they eat, feeling what they feel, every emotion that mother feels, that child feels, good, bad, ugly, indifferent. The food that they eat, that child is experiencing it. You know what I'm saying? All the ups and the downs, the pains and the aches, that child is sometimes the cause of it. But they're feeling and experiencing that with the mother. Then you have the child. Something that when I saw my wife birth our children, I was like, God, I was thanking God. I thanked God that I was a man, mm-hmm. because I don't want to go through that. Yeah. I'm just going to keep it 100. Like, I don't want
to
go through that.
You know what they say? If men had to give birth, it'd be a lot less people in the world.
It'd be a lot less people. It'd be nobody. I'm good. So then the mother has the child, goes through that. You know, it's a beautiful experience, but it's a traumatic experience too.
Right. In
some different ways. And then they give of their body even the more and breastfeed mm-hmm. that child for at least 6 months. Well, you know, she did like a year.
Okay.
Maybe it was like nine. It wasn't a year for the first one. It was longer than 6 months. I don't think it was a full year. The second one, it was about roughly the same, maybe a little less. And we got to eating it. Look, it was 6 months. After 6 months, Mark Brittany was like, that's it.
Yeah.
You know?
That's how
and so mm-hmm. she does that. You breastfeed that child. And even with breastfeeding, your body is producing something because of this child. Mm-hmm. Because of this relationship with this child, my body is producing something that otherwise it wouldn't produce, that being milk. Right. And then I'm able to take that and use it to nurse this child. That is profound.
It's amazing.
And I have taken advantage of that connection as our children have grown up.
Yeah.
Like you said, daddy privilege. Mm-hmm. As they have grown up, I've done it unknowingly for a very long time. And Brittany was pointing out. I'm like,
why are you always?
But I get it. And like I said, I took advantage of it for a while. And so then that child grows up mm-hmm. and they naturally go to mama. With mama. I'm sorry, they need apple juice. They need this. They need that.
Your daddy right here.
He ain't doing nothing. He ain't doing nothing. I'm like, I was doing something.
I'm here playing 2K.
Won't doing nothing. Xbox. You know what I'm saying? And so, you know, at the end of the day, on one level, I was not knowledgeable of it. When I became enlightened and then really began to put, you know, the specifics and really dive into and talk about and really communicate, you know, everything I just shared with you about the mother in those 9 months, and this, that, and the third, which really came by way of me sharing it with another father to be and things like that, you know. And I'm looking back at myself, you know, because I think sometimes people, we love giving information, but we don't love looking back and self-reflecting on what we give out. And I've made that a consistent practice, whether it be personally, whether it be professionally, whether it be even ministerially, because some folk they want to preach to you, but they don't want to turn inward and look back at themselves. And I never want to be that person, because I believe when you're able to self-reflect in every area, especially with what you preach and what you teach and what you put out, you know, that builds credibility. To me, it does.
For sure.
At least it has for me. So neither here nor there. But point was, man, like I did it unknowingly, daddy privilege. Then it was like, and it's, you know, sometimes I you need to change it. Like then, you know, you pull the Kevin Hart.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. You know, you pull it. But look,
you smell that?
Oh, I didn't even know. I didn't know. You've been smelling that stinky booty all the time. So, you know, but daddy privilege, man, and I think one of the best things that we can do is not, like, once you recognize it, you acknowledge it, number one. Mm-hmm. Again, this is, but now you take intentional steps.
What are you going to do with that information?
To do something about it, to level out or make the playing field equal. Because y'all are equal partners. Mm-hmm. My wife, she goes to work just like I go to work. Right. Mm-hmm. She, you know, we both leave the house. Well, she's at home now. She's an educator. But at the end of the day, like, I'm even able, when I'm on my days off, I'm watching what she's doing at home. Like, she's doing more work at home teaching the kids than she did in the school.
In the school. Wow.
Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, legit, when you're really doing it the right way, mm-hmm. you're really legitimately giving it the energy that it deserves.
His wife is a real teacher. She loves kids. And she
legit, bro. Like,
child.
She loves it, man. Passionate, man. I love it.
Yeah.
And God has gifted both of us. I teach, I educate in a totally different way. And with my career field. But that's a gift.
Yeah.
But I literally see what she puts out. And so I've been making intentional steps. And I can say this now, to make sure that I equal the plan for that I'm giving. And so one of my greatest rewards as a father right now is seeing what is coming back from me to my children. Man, they can't. I come home, they're like, oh, dad, all over me. Mm-hmm. Not just because I'm daddy, but because of how I invest in them.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And for me, it took me longer to grasp it and understand it, grow into the father that I am now. It took me 4 years to become the father that I am today.
For sure.
You know, like my man Eric Thomas says, it's, you know, you said it take 21 years to be 21.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, it's, you know, it's like, the point is, like, nothing happens overnight. Mm-hmm. And for fathers, and I'll say this, it does take us longer to grow into the level of support beyond going to work and emotional support and things that the mother offers than the mother. Like, it takes us longer to get to that point than it does for the mother. The mother, they just turn it on and they just run.
This is a common thing that happens, specifically with couples, men and women. I'm speaking from experience, but it's so easy to assume that the mom is better at certain things because we have been socialized to think certain stereotypical things.
That's real. That's
about
valid.
Women
that's
and
valid.
Men.
That's
right?
Valid. That's valid. I can't disagree.
Something as simple as swaddling the infant.
No, I'm in the swaddle king.
My swaddle game was on point at.
Come on now.
Eventually.
Yes, sir. No, I was there from the beginning.
But from the beginning, or not even swaddle, but you can think about anything that's attributed to being a parent or being a mother and all the stereotypes, the gender stereotypes that we put onto the mother.
That's legit.
And I can really, I don't remember the specific instance, but I can really recall me saying to her, but you're just better at this. And she's like, no, I'm not better at this. I'm not better at this. I'm just making an effort to do it. And the more that I make an effort, the better I become at this specific task.
You sound like Brittany.
Yeah.
Like, we've been going through, we're
this is a common thing that happens, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it is. It's common.
With all parents, you know.
You're right, bro.
But we're going to leave it right there for now. This is the first conversation of a much larger conversation.
Yep.
Talking about fatherhood, parenting, you know, the whole nine. Again, this is the Gentleman's Guide podcast. Please like, subscribe, share, Facebook, YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the whole nine.
Come on now. Everything.
Everything.
And all we're seeking to do is unpack manhood one day at a time.
One day at a time.
One day at a time. You sure? That's what we're trying to do.
That's what we're doing.
That's what we're doing. That's what we did today.
I'm your boy, B. Barnes.
Gerard Barnes.
And we will see you guys next time.
Peace.
Peace.